good morning. Welcome in, everybody. Welcome in to another show. I got a great episode lined up for you today. You are tuned in with Off the Record D. This is Eliminate the Gray. So you see it. Let me just give you a quick breakdown if this is your first time here. Eliminate the Gray with Off the Record D, where real sports live. Each week I break down the biggest stories in sports, giving you honest takes fueled by logic, life experience, and time spent in team sports. No hot takes for clicks, just real perspective. I call it how I see it. Whether it's breaking down a big game or calling out the media for how they spin this story, if you want sports talk with no agenda, you're in the right place. So y'all see the title, y'all see it on the screen. You see Shedeur's Time to Shine. This is going to be a Browns vs. Panthers preview. So if you haven't tuned in with me before, normally what I do is I cover multiple big stories in sports, but leading into the football season, and now that we have actually football back, we got guys tackling, we got guys running punt returns back in LeJonte Wester. We got guys actually playing football again. The schedule's going to change, so you definitely want to be subscribed. You want to subscribe on my YouTube channel so you could be notified. Got some big things coming up for this season. During college football season, we'll be doing live reaction to Archie Manning and him being an official starter in Texas versus Ohio State. We'll be doing a reaction to that. We will be listening in to preseason games. So you know YouTube, I can't play video to games, but the Browns' next two preseason games, I will be listening in. We'll be having a listening party, so you can listen in if you're unable to tap in and watch those preseason games. Tonight, I'm live on location. I will be going to the Browns versus Carolina Panthers preseason game, so I'll be getting there early, get to see Shedeur warming up. Try to capture as much footage as I can so I can put together a good video for you guys of me going to the game and then just getting as much content as I can while I'm there. So I will not be doing a listening party for tonight's game, but the next two preseason games I'll be doing a listening party. Then when the regular season starts, we'll be doing listening parties where, you know, you can listen to the game or you can watch the game on TV and then also be in a community where you can talk about the game and what's happening in the game with other people, other Browns fans, other Shedeur fans, you know, and NFL fans alike. So that's what we got up and coming. So like, comment, and subscribe just so you can be a part of this community. So once the actual real NFL season gets here, you won't be out on the field by yourself, you know, watching the games alone, because I know how that could be. But let's get to it. What are we talking about in today's episode? So today we're going to be looking at the Browns QB room, and we got six QBs. It's the talk of national media, so we're going to be breaking down the QB room. The Browns got something they need to work on. They got some problems that they need to work on that have been hindering them the last couple seasons under Kevin Stefanski. I'll let you know what those are and how actual Browns players are looking at things that they need to clean up. I'll let you know towards the end of the show what I'll be looking for, what I want to see, what my takeaways or kind of answers I want from this preseason game. So I'll let you know that later in the show. Also, sometimes we kind of get in a space where we only look at Cleveland-based media. And when you only look at Cleveland-based media, you kind of put yourself in a bubble. And sometimes to make sure I'm not going crazy, I like to go outside of that bubble. So me wanting to go outside of the bubble, I started looking at some Carolina Panthers actual media. And I'm like, let me see how their coach answers questions. Let me see if it's just me who is kind of looking at these things crazy. Doing a quick sound check. All right, good. So my sound is good. Always want to do a sound check. I just have this paranoia. So I recorded like a 2-hour and 40-minute podcast and my sound was off and I didn't recognize it because I didn't do a sound check early enough in the stream. So now I'm paranoid about that. So I always do a sound check early in the stream. So the sound is good. So back to what I was saying. Sometimes we get caught in our bubble in Cleveland and we got to look outside and say, okay, are we looking at this through the right lens? So I looked at the Carolina Panthers coach, a couple of his press conferences, And I'm like, are other coaches actually answering questions and giving information, or is everybody out here like Kevin Stefanski? And what do you know? Everybody is not out here like Kevin Stefanski. Some other coaches are actually answering questions, giving plans, telling you, hey, we're going to play starters. This is how many series we're going to get them. If this scenario happens, this is how we're going to adjust it. And then I was like, man, so this is a Kevin Stefanski thing. that's what it came down to. I was like, man, this is a Kevin Stefanski thing. So I think that's going to be a good thing to look at. We're going to get to some Zach Jackson, everybody's favorite. He keeps it real about what he sees out there at practice. I wanted to go to the joint practice, but the Carolina Panthers are doing construction, and their practices are not open to the public this year. So, you know, I wanted to get down there, wanted to, you know, you get to that point where we got the QB tracker, and we have all these different things, and we have the people who are covering the sports kind of losing credibility day by day. That word almost took me out. We have them losing it day by day. So nobody wants to listen to the Mary Kays. Nobody wants to listen to the Tony Grossies. We actually want to put our eyes on the product and say, okay, is this what I see? Because they just don't. We don't like what they see because they don't see it clearly. And that's been proven early on. So I wanted to get down there, couldn't make it, but that's okay. We're going to get to the actual preseason game. Funny story is when the Browns drafted Shador, before they actually released who the preseason opponents were, I'm all in the Reddit chats. I'm all in the, you know, trying to figure out if the Browns are going to be playing in Carolina, because I'm like, man, if they're playing in Carolina, I can make it to that game, even if it's during the preseason. So I got my tickets to this preseason game, really good seats. I got my tickets, I want to say April 30th. I got them early, April, May, I got my tickets. So it all worked out full swing. Now Shador's going to actually be starting and playing the bulk of the game. So it's working out pretty good for me. But that's enough of me. Let's get this show going. So like I said, I was looking at the Browns, and I was like, man, Kevin Stefanski doesn't talk enough. So let me see if this is how all coaches operate. So I just started looking at the Browns opponent. I'm just going to do this real quickly, show you one quick question and answer from the Carolina Panthers coach, Dave Canales. And we're just going to do a little compare and contrast based on what we see from Kevin Stefanski every single press conference. So let's get it. Let's get this thing going.
And for Houston, so yeah. Friday wasn't in the works.
Then. No, Friday was. Yeah, but the plan was to play the starters in the first two games.
Mm-hmm. Dave, it looked like Bryce threw the ball pretty well out there today. I know you have to probably go back and look at it, but what stood out to you, if anything?
Oh, yeah, just finding his guys down the field, you know, guys being available to him. I think the 7-on-7 period, they weren't on the same page a couple times. And so there's something that we can kind of work through. But, you know, I just loved, you know, the bounce back plays. You know, the Browns are pros, too. They made some plays out there, you know, and just a highlight to see that front. It's a pretty good front, you know, adding Mason Graham inside, of course. You know, Miles Garrett was out there. And so just loved the physical style play that was happening. But Bryce was able to find some opportunities down the field. And we looked a little leggy. We got after it yesterday. You know, I'll be honest. We looked a little leggy at first, but the guys kind of got going in the practice. And, of course, just competition brings out the best in the guys.
What does leggy mean? I mean.
Oh, just, you know, when you go back-to-back practice days. You know, we had a good one yesterday in the rain. Yes. Oh, okay. So just leggy.
She was. She asked a question. I was thinking, I'm like, dang, I never heard the term leggy before. So glad she asked that question. But you see it there really quickly. He gave his plan. All right, my starters are going to play in the first two preseason games. In another press conference, he's saying basically they're going to play the first two series. If they go 2-3 and outs, he might even get them in for a third series. He wants his starters to get 8 to 12 actual plays of game reps. So I'm looking at this, and I'm like, if you can just say this, and then I start looking around the league last night as we had games, Cincinnati Bengals playing starters. Philadelphia Eagles didn't play starters. That's okay. They're Super Bowl champs. So they are in a different timeline. But teams who have started slow in the past, they are using this as an opportunity to get their guys going and get their guys ready. So you don't really get that much of an advantage by saying, hey, my starters are going to play. It's the preseason. So they just get to go up against another team, see different color jerseys, and actually go hit and tackle some guys. So this is going to me, this is a knock on Kevin Stefanski. being so vague in press conferences. And if he would just come out, like I called it a couple weeks ago, everybody's starting to see it now. At first, people disagree with me. I said, this is not a quarterback competition. He should pick his number one, his number two, and let those guys start playing and start to kind of build up that that camaraderie on the field and that understanding, get that timing down. And people were kind of like, no, it's a QB competition. At some point, you got to make the decision. You can't keep putting the decision off, because the longer you put the decision off, you have outside factors that determine how that's going to go. And we're already seeing that. We got outside factors with Kenny Pickett, who, for whatever reason, the Browns wanted to start. He is injured. You have Dylan Gabriel injured. So you have these outside factors. So the longer you're waiting to make these decisions and put clear-cut processes in, you only make things more difficult for yourself. And that's what I saw Kevin Stefanski doing. And now I got pushback immediately when I said it. But now 3 weeks later, everybody is saying, man, they just need to name a starter so that we can kind of stop dealing with this stuff. So when you don't name a starter, because I use the Giants as an example. The Giants came out, Russell Wilson is a starter. And I was like, that was a good thing, because now they never have to receive a question about if Russell Wilson or a QB competition or any of these things. They eliminated it right away. The Browns know who they want to start. Even if it's Kenny Pickett, say Kenny Pickett is our starter. Like, just say it, move forward, start stacking the reps based on that, and stop doing this faux QB competition and giving Dylan Gabriel reps with the ones, reps with the twos, Kenny Pickett, who's injured, reps with the ones. Like, this stuff makes no sense. They're making this more complex than it needs to be. So I'm just starting to see this now. Everybody's coming around to it. So I'm one of those people where I think about, to get better at something, you got to keep stacking the wins. And you got, the wins don't necessarily have to be big wins every day, but the first thing you got to stack is that consistency and showing up. And Kevin Stefanski is taking away their ability to stack with consistency. And I saw that as an issue right away. And now people are starting to see it. So let me get off my high horse with that with Kevin Stefanski. We got Joe Flacco here. Joe Flacco is going to speak to him wanting basically to, he wants to win the job, but also he just wants the refs to be solid because they can kind of throw you off. I got two clips from him. This might be the clip. So let's get it. Let's hear from Joe Flacco. Fair use for all the videos I'm using today.
I think it's been a point of emphasis for us, like this camp, pre-snap penalties. You know, like sometimes the stuff during the snap, like when you're playing, you know, it's the pre-snap ones, it's the one that we can control. It's all mental. And I think we did have some of those today. And like I said, it's been a point of emphasis for us throughout the whole camp. So to come out here and get against another team where maybe you're a little bit more revved up, that I think that showed today. So we need to, you know, just need to refine a little bit. And this is probably a good environment for that, because it allows you to realize, like, man, maybe I went a little overboard, and it allows you to kind of, the next time you're faced with that, to relax a little bit more and just go play your game.
So that was the first clip. That was where I mentioned that the Browns are having some of the same problems that they had under Kevin Stefanski. So I remember hearing it from a couple beat writers who have been at the practices. They've been saying the Browns are having issues with pre-snap penalties. And what they tried to do was say, oh, Shador needs to get on top of these pre-snap penalties going into the preseason game. But the Browns have had trouble with pre-snap penalties last year, insane amount of penalties. This year, they're already starting off bad with a bunch of penalties, and Joe Flacco is calling this out that it happened in joint practice versus the Carolina Panthers, pre-snap penalties. So, two things. I think it's unfair to say Shador has to clean this up when this was a problem before Shador even got here. This has been something under Kevin Stefanski that they have to get the penalty situation under control. This has been an issue for him at least 3 of the 5 years that he's coached previously here with the Browns. So this is not something you're going to blame on a rookie quarterback. The rookie quarterback wasn't here last year, and we had so many pre-snap penalties last year. So that's not going to work. He has to figure out a way to clean this up. So this is two knocks on Kevin Stefanski that I'm saying right away. He has to clean some things up as a coach. Let's get to the second Joe Flacco clip. This is where he's going to speak on reps.
Say, because, like, you know, there's only a certain amount of reps out there, but guys are competing, you know, guys are really getting after it. I think they're starting to as much as they can, learn a little bit about themselves and be able to dig a little bit deeper and realize they're starting to kind of, the light bulb's coming on of what it's going to take to be that consistent, you know, team that we want to be. I think this organization's been close over the years. You know, we've had some good teams here. Now it's just about getting that consistency, that competition up every single day to push ourselves.
What do you expect to see from Shador now that we know he's going to start on Friday night?
Oh, it'll be interesting. I think we'll all be, you know, sitting there watching and be excited for, you know, football to be going real time. And I think he's probably excited about that too. I mean, your first time to go in the NFL, I remember mine. I mean, I didn't get to play until the last 2 minutes of the game, but it's something that he'll remember forever. I mean, you know, most of us have dreamt about this moment, you know, since we were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. So for him to get a chance to go out there and actually take the field, even though it's preseason, you know, we're all going to be on the sidelines and at home and enjoying it. So. For sure. You know, it's so funny because, like, I don't really think of it that way. You know, we're just kind of going to work every day and doing our job, and we're in the room together. But, yeah, that'll make it exciting.
All right, so that is Joe Flacco. He started off that where he was talking about the reps, and he was saying basically that I might have missed it in that clip, but it was early on in the clip when he was speaking on the reps, and he said, hey, for us to get consistent, we got to get the reps. So you can't keep playing this 4-QB dance. It's not a QB competition. You have an idea who you want to start. We let you play this game for the first week. Now it's the second week. Stop playing this game. You got to get these guys ready to play. And the Browns offense, everybody's saying this was the best it looked versus Carolina. So far in camp, the Browns offense hasn't been able to move the ball, running the ball. Haven't really moved the ball like they would like to versus the Browns defense. And the Browns defense didn't really hold up against Carolina. So it's not like we got a number one defense or a top 10 defense. They would have to show it and prove that they're a top 10 defense. But the offense is clearly behind, and some of that is due to how Kevin Stefanski has decided to run this quarterback competition and how he's decided to keep juggling things. He's adding extra layers of complexity that don't need to be there. And when you do that, you will face penalties. So, for instance, they keep giving all these reps to Dillon Gabriel and Kenny Pickett, 707s. They're injured. They couldn't play in this game if you needed them to. If that is the case, let injured guys be injured. Stop taking reps away from guys who will need to play. Let Joe Flacco get more reps. Let Shador get more reps. In 707s, let them get them reps. Let them build up that confidence. So to keep giving 707 reps to guys who are injured makes no sense. And that's one of those things where it's like, that's a Kevin Stefanski thing. That doesn't matter about, that's all his decision, and that's a bad decision. And I'm calling it out early. I'm not waiting until we get the bad result. I'm calling it out early. So that's a Kevin Stefanski issue. So now let's get to a big story this week of how Shador is actually getting this opportunity and how people are viewing it. So what people are doing is people try to box people in. So they want to – let me just get this pulled up.
We all would like to see.
Let me pause this. This is Lewis Reddick. So what people want to do is people want to take Lewis Reddick, and he's worked in front offices. He played in the NFL. People just want to throw him into the Shador Sanders camp. So anything he says, if they want to write it off, they'll say he's Team Shador. They won't say anything he's saying. They won't determine if it has any validity or anything that he's saying. They just say, oh, Shador camp. And that's how they kind of play it. So when people do that, people are looking for reasons to dismiss what you say and disregard what you are saying. And that's what they are doing with Lewis Reddick, even when he says something valid. Now, he said this the other day, and when he said this the other day, everybody just said Shador could do no wrong. He's calling out the Browns. But listen, what people didn't do is people responded to what they thought he said without even listening fully to what he said. So here it is. Let's play it, and we'll respond to it after he completes his thought.
See him get in terms of having first team reps in a game setting. Now, the problem is he hasn't taken a whole lot of reps with the first team. So as I talked about previously here, this is the kind of scenario that you don't want. You want to go, you're going out there with the first team, but you haven't really repped with them. You haven't really gone through all the different calls that the quarterbacks that have been getting the majority of the ones and twos have gotten. So for him, hey, look, he may not be able to lock down the starting job with this performance, but he can definitely lose it. That's just the life of being a late round draft pick. They expect you to be perfect, although you weren't necessarily set up for perfection. But if there's anybody who was built to handle this kind of opportunity, it's him, because of the kind of football he played at Colorado, because of the kind of young man that he is. So look, this is what we've been waiting to see. This is what all young draft picks want to see. And the only thing I'll say for him is this. You got to go out there. You got to make one or two wild plays. Play a clean game, but you got to give them something to remember when they go back in those personnel meetings.
Mark Scott, we've been talking a lot about Shadur all offseason.
Okay, so after you hear that, do you hear this? The Browns are trying to sabotage him. Do you hear this overly negative view that people want to take it? He's calling out some things that are true. Shadur has not taken any reps with the first team offense. That is a fact. That's not a lie. Doesn't matter how we feel about it. The second thing he said was he's not being set up for perfection based on how he's getting this opportunity. That's a fact. He's going to go against starters, and he's going to be going in with the twos. That's not set up for perfection. If anything, I would say Joe Flacco or even Dylan Gabriel have been more set up to play against another team's starters than Shadur. So that's a fact. Thirdly, what did he say? But you have to make the most of the opportunity you're given, make the most of the situation, and you have to perform. Okay, that's a fact. Nobody would question that Shadur has to perform and take advantage of this opportunity. And then lastly, he said, look at what he did in Colorado. And in Colorado, if anybody could do this, it's Shadur. So where is this insanely negative view that people are saying based on what he said? I don't think he said anything crazy. Like, people, that's why when people want to box people in, it's because they want to box you in to disregard what you're saying, even when you say something valid. So me, I'm not a person that lets people just put me in boxes, because that's a way for them to just make whatever you say invalid. That's what they're trying to do. That's their goal. That's their intentions. So I don't let people put me in boxes. If I put a box on myself, I'll put the box on myself. But I'm not going to let somebody out there put a box on me and then I just accept that. Not happening. So I don't think it was that bad. This show is moving right along. This is not going to be a super long show. I got to get ready for, you know, my plans and get into the game and all that stuff. So this is not going to be a super long show. But I did just want to go back to something that I was doing last year by giving y'all like a pregame show, because I'm not going to be able to do the normal pregame show. I used to go live 45 minutes before kickoff, and I can't do that clearly. So I'm giving y'all the show early. But let's move this forward. So even Adam the Bull, I was watching UCSS, and actually, you know what? Let me pull it up for y'all, because Adam the Bull was one of those people who was ready. There we go. Adam the Bull was one of those people. He was ready to just dismiss whatever people were saying, and once he heard what Zach Jackson said, he changed his mind. Like, oh, so what people are saying is valid. So instead of me trying to recap what he said, let me just find what he said and bring it to you. Let's see. How long ago did he say this? I believe it is here.
So the Browns are in Carolina, guys. Practice going.
Okay, yes, I believe it is here. So here we go. So this is going to be Bull and Jason. And instead of me just trying to just kind of jump through what they said, let me actually show you what they said. Put the speed just, oh, it's already got on 1.25. Y'all know I don't watch nothing. If you've been listening to me, you know I don't watch nothing on regular speed. So whoops.
You said the plan all along was.
Hold on. Hey. Let's do this. Let me clean this up for y'all real quick, because we got stuff popping up that we don't need anymore. And there we go. Clean this up. Okay. Let's get real calm. Here we go. At some point, they're going to say it. We're going to find a spot, but I'm going to let y'all hear it.
Going on as we speak, apparently it's really bad weather in Charlotte, North Carolina right now. There's been a lot of talk of rain, but they are practicing. Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel are all not going to play. Of course, the idiots that were getting worked up about them signing Tyler Huntley, which we talked about yesterday.
I didn't get that either. I didn't understand.
It was so
that.
Bizarre. Well, because there was this idea, I guess, that he was going to take reps away from...
You can't have
Shador play an entire preseason game. And he's a little banged up, too. So the idea that they're going to play him for an entire preseason game is silly.
Like, guys got hurt. You had to sign somebody.
Of course.
Why is that a big...
Fans getting upset is one thing. I saw a couple of media members talking about it. I was like, this is nuts.
I called Zach yesterday. I'm like, hey, like, seriously, what am I missing?
Yeah.
And he said, like, it's more of the spectacle that they have five quarterbacks on the roster.
Sure.
Now they have to go get, and it's the Browns being the
and
Browns.
And it's easy to pick on the Browns.
They're an easy punchline.
Yes.
But when two of your quarterbacks go down and you're not going to play Flacco in the open, like, what are you going to do? You got to sign somebody. Like, I thought it was really overblown and much about nothing.
He's going to be here for a couple of weeks. When they all get healthy, probably, he's going to be gone, and that's going to be that.
I saw a clip of Dustin talking on your show. I thought he was great. Like, it's a win-win for both sides.
Of course. You're right. He's going to get an opportunity. Maybe somebody will pick him up as a second or third quarterback because he plays in this preseason game. And for them, they know him. He knows them. They know him. He was here last camp.
Although I don't know how much this playbook resembles last year's playbook.
True, but at least he's got a little bit of a relationship.
Against the number one caliber defense in Carolina, as opposed to Shador, who's going to get the start on Friday. I'm thrilled to see what Shador can do against Carolina's ones, because Dave Canales, their head coach, did say the starters are going to play a series or two in each of the first two preseason games.
Guy in this, and they're setting up
a lot of it. They've caused this.
They invited. I said the
other who's meaningful reps. So when you're trying to divvy it up. Yeah, Shador's going to end up with more overall reps, considering he's going to play, in my opinion, about a half, maybe even a little more football, and Joe Flacco's not going to be in uniform on Friday. But for this particular joint practice, it's about getting your team ready for week one of the regular season, not necessarily week one of the preseason. And week one of the regular season, I'd be shocked if Joe Flacco isn't the starting quarterback.
I don't understand how we got to the point where there has to be a good guy and a bad guy and everything.
So I want to pause it here. They're about to get to the point that I wanted y'all to hear. Okay, so everybody says that Kevin Stefanski could potentially be on the hot seat. They don't know if he's a good or bad coach. So why should we just take what he says as law? What capital has he, what capital or grace has he earned through his performance when basically he is a 500 coach? Yeah, I mean, he's better than a lot of coaches for the Browns, but he's a 500 coach. So he doesn't have this built-in cachet where you would say, we're just gonna follow him blindly. So last year, through whoever's decision it was, people were sounding the alarms, Deshaun Watson doesn't look good, we're supposed to follow him blindly. And we were following him blindly last year based on what he did 2 years ago. And then we're following him blindly for that, what he did 2 years prior to that. So where is it where Kevin Stefanski can't make a mistake? I was even having a conversation with someone in my comments, and I was saying, hey, is Kevin Stefanski above making mistakes? Because I was questioning decisions that he made. And as you watch this thing long enough, you will see there are points where people can make mistakes, regardless of how much experience that they have. When the Patriots decided to get rid of Tom Brady, it was a mistake. Everybody says Belichick is the greatest coach or up there with the greatest coaches of all times. When they got rid of Tom Brady, he still had life left in him. They made a mistake. That was a mistake. You can call out the mistakes that even great people make when they make them. And that's where people are trying to give them grace, where it's like, oh, well, we just got to believe Kevin Stefanski. Kind of not really. I mean, yeah, we've went to the playoffs twice, but he's still just 500. We got smacked in the playoffs versus the Texans. And then versus the Steelers, we won. We beat them from the first snap during the pandemic. So, yeah, he had his wins. But we were winning. We had a chance to win on the final drive against Kansas City when Baker went to the playoffs. And we lost. And we let a backup come in and beat us. Because remember, Myles Garrett tackled Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes ended up getting hurt and missed the rest of the game. So a backup came in and beat us. So it's not like he has all this cachet. He's not a coach that's taken the team to a Super Bowl. He's not a coach that has, you know, went on these multiple deep playoff runs. He can be questioned. And they were dismissing it as it was happening, and they're about to dismiss it here. So let me get off my high horse. Here it is.
Like, it can't just be, you know what I mean? Like,
it's
the Browns are always the bad guy.
Yeah,
the Browns are always the bad guy in this, and they're setting up
a lot of it. They've caused this.
They invited. I said the other day. Yeah. They invited this in
right.
when they did what they did at the draft. But like, okay, so because I was thinking yesterday, well, Shador has to start, right? Shador has to start the game. And then I heard Mary Kay say, you know, maybe you start Huntley because you don't want to throw Shador in against the ones when he hasn't had those reps yet. So let Huntley take the brunt of it almost as a sacrificial lamb.
So that line of thinking right there, Huntley at that point will not even been back with the Browns for 48 hours and they're saying put him in above Shador. And you're saying that that wouldn't be doing Shador wrong. What are you like? A lot of times when people ruin these young quarterbacks, they crush their confidence. Let's use Bryce Young as a case study. They were crushing Bryce Young's confidence early on, and then they had to build his confidence back up. So I was talking to somebody about Bryce Young and the difference that I see in him. He has his confidence back. He has his confidence back. That's the difference. His confidence is very important to a young quarterback. So how would you be? That would definitely be hurting him. If you say, yeah, you've been here ever since the draft, putting in work, progressing, getting better, and we're going to sign somebody in 48 hours, we're just going to jump them ahead of you when we already got you fourth on the depth chart, when you have been, if you haven't outperformed nobody else, you outperformed Dylan Gabriel. Just that thought process to say that would make sense shows that you are going to overlook some things that would be negative to said player. So let's keep it going.
And then when Carolina pulls its starters, then you can put Shador in. I thought, all right, that makes a little bit of sense. But for all the people that are screaming about Shador and you're setting him up to fail, and I heard Lewis Riddick is so clouded on this because of his relationship with Deion. Like, every day he gets on and screams about how the Browns are setting up Shador to fail. I'm like, would you be saying that about Riley Leonard in Indianapolis if the Colts were starting him? Would you be saying that about Kyle McCord if he was starting? Would you be saying that about Quinn Ewers if the Dolphins
What I don't get about that is the complaint's been he's not getting any opportunities.
Now he's getting an opportunity.
They're not rushing him.
Now he's getting the opportunity.
Now he's getting the opportunity.
Now you haven't prepared him for it.
It's bad either way.
So can you imagine had they started Tyler Huntley?
So that's where they're making a mistake. See, I played the Lewis Reddick clip for y'all first. That was intentional. That was so y'all can hear what he actually said. We broke down all the things Lewis Reddick said. Nothing was off base. But then you have Jason who's just dismissing. He's dismissing whatever Lewis Reddick said. And this is where you get into that problem where on one hand, you can understand why they shouldn't start Shador over a guy they signed 48 hours ago. But at the same time, you can't understand that this isn't ideal circumstances for Shador to get the opportunity. That's what everybody is saying. I think they are wrong for using the sabotage word. We heard Lewis Reddick. I played this whole thought. He didn't say the Browns were sabotaging him. That is fans who are saying they're sabotaging him. And Stephen A. Smith said they're sabotaging him. But you specifically said Lewis Reddick. Lewis Reddick never said they were sabotaging him. He's saying it's not ideal, but Shador has to make the best of it. And I believe they would even agree with that. So this is where these guys, I'm telling you, I called it out with Rob Parker, and I'm saying, hey, they're not watching the guys play. That's the issue. He clearly either did not comprehend the full thing of what Lewis Reddick said, or he didn't watch the whole thing. He watched the 20-second clip, one or the other. And I'm going to say Jason, I don't think Jason is not a smart guy, so I'm going to say he watched a snippet of what Lewis Reddick said and didn't watch the full thing. That's the only way he can come to that conclusion. So this brought y'all up to speed to this is – actually, let me play what Bull is going to say, and then let's get to what Bull said the very next day.
What the cries would be of, look, he still can't even get the opportunity. And now he is going to start. And if he doesn't play well, it's, well, you set him up to fit. Like, the Browns can't win under any circumstance, no matter what they do. And for the record, I hope the kid goes out and balls. I want to see him play incredibly well. I want to see him grab hold of this job and never let go for the next 15 years. Like, that's what I think the Browns would love to see that. I think fans would love to see that. I think we would love to see that. We would love to see this kid take all the opportunity.
So I think these guys are being disingenuous when they say that the Browns can't win. The Browns created this. The Browns created this. So the Browns put themselves in a lose-lose situation, and then they handled it in a lose-lose way, and then now we're supposed to have sympathy for how the Browns have created this whole situation. I always said, if they believed in Gabriel so much, they should have never took Shador. But clearly they didn't believe in Gabriel enough to take Shador. Then, prior to that, they went and got Kenny Pickett, and it's always, when you have guys in the NFL, the worst thing that can happen to them who are decision makers is to they can go against everything that's conventional for football wisdom and think they know better than everybody else. So one thing they did was Kenny Pickett, it has to be something there. It's nothing there. It's nothing there. Now they're looking at Dylan Gabriel. He's short, but man, oh man, he threw the most passes. He played 6 years. Every time he potentially could have had a QB competition, he went to another school. And they think they're going to be the one to unlock that without catering the entire offense to him? You can't keep playing the smartest in the room when you keep failing at it. You keep failing at it. Now, there's some stuff that I defend Barry for, but there's some stuff that some knocks on him, and this is one of those knocks on him, and they created this entire mess, and now we can't play the sympathy card for them because they created the mess. Everybody saw it was a mess, and now you got people in NFL circles laughing at them because they created the mess and how they handle it. So another thing they're leaving out is they are treating Dylan Gabriel like he's the number one pick with the rep distribution, not pulling him back on the depth chart. They're not saying he could do anything to not look good. So even when he don't look good in practice, they say, man, that classroom, he looks real good in the classroom. Okay. He looks real good in the classroom. But this football games are not won or lost in the classroom. They're won or lost on the field. So if you're the smartest quarterback in the room, but you either physically can't see where to go with the ball or you can't do what you can do on the whiteboard on the field, what you do in the classroom doesn't matter. It's mute. So they created this. I'm not going to have no sympathy for them, but that was what they were saying. And now let's listen to how Bull switched it up when he actually heard from Zach Jackson, who was there. See, when you have guys who are just speaking from the outside, they're not there. People got the right to change their mind. I appreciate when somebody can say, nah, this is crazy, and then they change their mind once they hear another perspective of it. So let's get to Zach Jackson, and this is Bull. I got two clips.
Counted of the rookie quarterback.
So this is the first clip I want to play.
You know, the Browns are out to get Shedeur Sanders. They're also stupid. Doesn't make any sense. But then you had an interesting tweet where you said where you seemed confused as to what the Browns were doing on the 7-on-7s,
yeah,
where Sanders didn't get a run. So what did you make of it by the time it was all done?
Yeah, so of the four, he got the fewest reps. And then both times, 11-on-11 and 7-on-7, but his second time through, they gave him to Tyler Huntley, who's here to be the emergency quarterback, right? So I'm just like, what's going on? So, yeah. You know, look, the joint practice was for Joe Flacco and the starters, and it's for getting the starters ready. And that's what training camp really is about, right?
Sure.
But the guy's going to start a game in 2 days. He's clearly the more talented of your two rookie quarterbacks. Circumstances have changed this thing. It's gone in a big circle, except for, I think, you know, Flacco is the clear leader, but Pickett's going to get healthy. But anyway, I just wonder why he couldn't get two more reps or three more reps. Like, you know, put it this way, Bull. We're overreacting, certainly, right? We're not in the development stage, and everything they do has a purpose.
Right.
But like in minicamp, when we're overreacting, we're watching them go through handoff drills and the basics.
Yeah.
Now we're 3 weeks into training camp, and the preseason starts, and 2 weeks from the end of the preseason. So, like, I think it'd be time to let the most talented rookie play a little more. That's all. If that's a crazy thought, then people can call me crazy and call me an idiot, because they do.
I don't think it's a crazy thought at all. And I thought the fact that you brought up that this was odd opened my eyes, and I'm like, maybe all these people that are screaming and yelling are not crazy because Zach's saying there's something off here. And when you say there's something off.
See, this is where I can applaud Bull. I don't have to agree with a person 100% of what they say, but I do applaud Bull for saying, hey, maybe I was viewing this wrong. Let me get another perspective and see what I was missing. And now he's saying, once he hears it, he's saying, man, so what Lewis Riddick was saying wasn't that crazy. So Shador's going out there with the twos. Shedeur took no 7-on-7 reps. So that's just to build timing and all those things. So he had no 7-on-7 reps. And this was Wednesday. He's going to play in 2 days. So now they're saying, wait. Now I got to question what the Browns are doing. Now I got to question what the Browns are saying. And I think that's legit. I think it's perfectly fine questioning them because, like I said earlier, they haven't built up the cachet for us not to question them. They haven't done it. They have nothing that says we shouldn't question you. Too many times we tried to give them grace and they burned us. So now we got to question you. And I think This is I don't like to do hot takes. But you know when a person say I don't like to do this or they add but after that, that means disregard everything they said first. I'm a human being. Disregard everything I said before. But to me, Kevin Stefanski, he has full control. That's why I said earlier, like he said, I'm going to do this thing my way, which I get. When people get assurances or people believe they can't be fired, you really have to watch what they do with that. Because in most cases, coming off a 3-14 season, coaching staff and front office will be on the hot seat. But when they're not on the hot seat and they are given assurances, they'll at least get one more year. If they don't respond accordingly, they can do things worse that force the owner's hand to get them fired. If the Browns don't win, I'm calling it 6 games. If the Browns don't double their win total from last year, I could see them getting fired. If they also, besides not winning 6 games, they're a sloppy football team and are the top 3 in penalties on the year, I could see them getting fired. So when people get those assurances, they kind of get cocky and just don't think about the small steps of what they're trying to get to. So that's something to watch. I know I say in the intro, no hot takes, but that's a hot take for me. Only because this thing could be setting up to go south fast. And if this season goes south fast, now they're going to start taking a full year evaluation. Like, okay, if Dylan Gabriel proves that he is what everybody believes he is, as a backup, and they push him out there and he doesn't have success and it looks bad, and then on top of that, you don't win 6 games, and then on top of that, you're most penalized, how could the owner look at you and say we're any better than we were a year ago when we won 3 games? I don't think they could. So let's get back to Bull and Zach.
I believe it more than anybody else. So what's the explanation? Is there an explanation? Did the Browns have an answer for that?
There isn't a firm one, Bull. And look, they're in a weird situation. You know, Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel are not healthy enough to participate in 11-on-11s, they say, yeah. Right? So they're still getting them their work. So they're getting the bulk of the 7-on-7 stuff. Okay, like the quarterback competition's going on. I mean, it was really rainy here yesterday, like incredibly rainy for 2 days, and we weren't sure practice was going to go on time, and it ended up being delayed only like 15 or 20 minutes, right? But they get out there, they get going, the clouds clear, and the first thing I look down, and Kenny Pickett's doing the walkthrough with the starters. Well, he's not playing 11-on-11 with the starters. So it is this whole balance of, you know, it's still just practice, it doesn't mean a ton, but that's a sign that the quarterback competition isn't over, right? That tells me that next week when they get back to Berea and back to Philly, that Kenny Pickett's going to be in there with the starters getting a chance to win this job. How's he going to do it? I don't know. They have their methods. I get it, right? And Shedeur Sanders is a fourth-string quarterback who's gotten more reps than any fourth-string quarterback ever has, probably in any camp, certainly in any camp I've seen.
Right.
For 2 days before he starts, couldn't you get him a couple more throws?
It does seem
especially crazy. If these two guys are hurt, like, what's going on?
Yeah. And especially.
So this is where Bull fully came around to it, where he's saying he got to start in 2 days. Why are you not getting him a couple more throws? So that's where I don't think it's sabotage. I think it's incompetence, because I think you got to be smart to sabotage it. You got to have a track record of you've made a lot of great decisions, and we're clearly making this decision because we know we're going to put him in a bad spot. And I don't think it's that. I think it's incompetence. And I think the show is incompetence is – they're playing guys who can't run, can't move. They are giving them the 7-on-7 reps who are limited. They are giving them the reps over a guy who's healthy, who's actually going to play in 2 days. That says incompetence. That doesn't say sabotage. Because, like I said, to sabotage somebody, you got to be smart. What they're doing is incompetence, because I just don't think they really know the best way to do it. Hey, you can get mad at me, but that's how I see it.
Especially when you're giving Tyler Huntley reps, which makes no sense.
Which makes no sense. He's here to be the emergency guy. He's played in the NFL for 8 years. He can go in, and he's there to be a battering ram if he needs to be, right? Like, give the reps to Shedeur Sanders.
It is strange. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and I think people that have been frustrated by the situation, and like you say, it's weird, because compared to a typical fourth-string quarterback, he has gotten plenty of work. Yeah. But he's not a typical fourth-string quarterback.
No.
And so it is all kinds of bizarre. You just said that, you know, you talked about the Kenny Pickett thing.
All right, so that's it for there. It's a bold change of course, which I think that's what smart people do. Smart people get new information and they update how they view a situation. So shout out to Bull for switching up his stance there. I got another part of this Zach Jackson interview I want to play. So let's play it. Let's get to it.
What is it that you think the Browns see or at least saw in Dylan Gabriel that maybe the rest of us are not seeing?
processing, and he does have an arm, right? But when he can't see, his fundamentals get all out of whack. So I just see Dylan Gabriel as the next Kellen Moore and Colt McCoy and all these guys who played forever in college and were in certain systems and thrived, and they get to the NFL and they're just overwhelmed by it. So I could be wrong, but everything we've seen through 2 months of the spring and 3 weeks of training camp tells me I've never been more right. So let's see where it goes.
Do you think he's a guy who's going to, like some of those guys you mentioned, certainly Colt McCoy, could be a backup in the league for very long and that's it, or is he not even that?
Are you asking if I think he'll be very good on TV? Yes, he will be.
All right, Zach, next week is going to be interesting. There, obviously, the scrimmage against Philly, that'll be fun. Thanks for joining me again today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Paul.
All right, Zach Jackson from The Athletic. He just does such a great job of covering the Browns, and he gives us the real deal, man. There's no BS with Zach. He gives you the straight skinny, and he's telling you, I've been poo-pooing the people. The Browns are not trying to sabotage Shedeur Sanders, but I've been poo-pooing a lot of the conversation about, how they're handling the Shedeur Sanders situation. And listen, they're doing some things well, but it is head scratching why you give some reps in practice to Tyler Huntley instead of Shedeur Sanders. That doesn't make any. There's no reasonable explanation for that. And yes, you're getting these scrimmages are more about getting ready for the regular season than the playoffs. Than the preseason game. But he's still going to play this preseason game. It would help for him to get more reps here. It is quite strange. So I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the Browns are thinking here. All right, let me wrap up with some chat messages from you folks, if you haven't done so.
All right, so shout out to Bull for switching it up at the very end there and just seeing kind of the flaw in his ways and moving forward. So let's see. Let's switch this thing over. All right, so this is Bank of America Stadium. I want to see the rosters because I want to – let's see. So we see who's out. None of these guys are playing right here. I don't even know why. They have them listed. Kevin Stefanski said those guys weren't playing. So let's see. I want to tell y'all what I'm looking for to see. So what I want to see from the rookies, of course. I want to see Shedeur handle the offense. I want to see Shedeur do well. I want to see him look comfortable. I don't think he needs to be Superman. I don't think he needs to try to, save the day or anything like that. I just think he needs to run a comfortable offense. I think he needs to make some good reads, and I think he'll be fine. I want to see Dylan Sampson. I want to see him go up against other NFL guys. I don't mind that he's small. All running backs don't have to be Derrick Henry, 6'2", 220. All of them don't need to be that. So I want to see Dylan Sampson. I want to see Mason Graham. I want to see if he is adjusting to being a D-tackle that kind of holds up the pocket to being a D-tackle who is aggressive and who is working to collapse the pocket and get to the quarterback. So that's going to be a change for him. Carson Schlesinger, I want to see him. I want to see his speed because at first, when we first drafted him, everybody said he was small. Now everybody's saying he's not small, and they're saying he is all over the field. So I want to see him up close. I want to see his speed. Also, I'm going to be close enough so when guys are coming out the tunnel and guys are in warm-ups, I'm going early enough so I can see all those things to actually see the size. So I want to see Dylan Gabriel standing next to, his teammates and stuff like that. That's what I want to see because, when you hear people say these things and they say, oh, this guy's short, this guy's this guy's that, I want to see him around other NFL players and see if it makes sense. So definitely looking forward to seeing that. Another thing that's non-Browns, but LeJonte Wester, he looked really good for Baltimore last night. I want to see how Jimmy Horn looks. Jimmy Horn should get a lot of run. The Carolina Panthers have a very deep receiver room, so I want to see how to use Jimmy Horn. I want to see if he's going to be one of their first step returning kicks or returning punts, see how they use him. So those are going to be some of the things that I'm going to be looking at, and those are going to be some of the things I'm going to be looking for. So those are my takeaways. That's what I want to see. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for being here. Going into the football season, you want to be subscribed to the channel on YouTube so you can see when I'll be going live. I try to get my stuff scheduled at least 12 hours out when I'm going to do my next live stream. I won't be doing a post game tonight because when the game will end and when I'll get home and from traffic and all that stuff. But the post game will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. normal time. I'll do the post game, and we'll be recapping everything we saw. We'll be going through what I saw from Shador, what I saw from the other guys I named, how well they did. We'll be seeing how guys interact on the sideline. So I want to see all those things. All those things are important to me. So that's what I'll be looking for. So make sure you like, comment, subscribe for that. Also, a couple weeks ago, I challenged, let's see if we can get it pulled up here. A couple weeks ago, I challenged the YouTube. I challenged my guys on YouTube to, at the time, let me get this higher so you can see it. So more than, I believe it was 95% of the people watching were not subscribed. So it was a 95-5 ratio. We got that ratio to a 87-12. So, you know, we're moving the ball down the field. We're doing things right. But we want to get more people subscribed to the channel. So if you are watching the content, the views are definitely up. The activity is up. So if you're watching the content, if you're listening to the podcast, definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel. And then also, Eliminate the Gray podcast. Eliminate the Gray is the official name for the pod. Let's see. Normally, I don't have to do these things on the spot, but let's get to it. Let me change this up for y'all real quick. I had a post on my community tab. I want to show y'all all the behind the scenes on my YouTube. Let's pull this post up. Let's check out the post. No, that's not what we want to see. All right, so here it is right here. It's not letting me move this thing up higher. Hold on. Let's get to the actual post. This might make it better. Then I'll show you all the post. Let's do this. All right, so y'all see it. We doing this thing live. Normally, I'm not looking at my own account, so it's just kind of funny. Let's see. Playlist. Here we go. All right, so I found it for y'all. Let's get it back up for you. Okay, so this is what the podcast looks like on YouTube, but you can get the podcast anywhere you listen to your podcast. So even though this was a short podcast we did today, I'm going to get this thing out. I should have it up in like the next hour or so you can still listen pregame just to get you ready for the game today. And this is what it looks like right here on the screen. Eliminate the Gray, we're off the record D. So when you're on YouTube, this is what it will look like. We got the transcripts, so we got closed caption available to you. We also have timestamps, so you could jump to the topics that you want to see. So today's podcast, I'll get that thing up for you so you can go ahead and listen to it. So thank you all for being here. Thank you all for tapping in. It's been a great show. Definitely looking forward to the game tonight. I'll catch y'all in the next one. Peace.